All right, it is good to see everyone today on this March 13, 2022. And we're continuing our study on God's grace. When it comes to grace, there's got to be a giver, there's got to be a receiver, and there's got to be a gift. These are all the things that God wants to do for us. And, you know, we sing about amazing grace, and Lehman, grace is amazing. This message, though, is about God's available grace. All that He's got for us, that He wants to give us, that He wants to help us with. And so we want to look at some of that today, good Lord willing. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And the scripture says this: "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things that we need after salvation to live out the blessed, abundant Christian life?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask You to forgive me a daily sin and weekly sin. I confess unto You, as Isaiah says, the filth of my sin. And Father, I just pray to be cleansed by Your blood and anointed by Your Spirit today, filled with Your Spirit to wash the feet of these that listen to this message and to serve the Word of God with humility. And Lord, I just pray right now that Your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, that Father, You'll let us know the battle is the Lord's, that You'll let us know my grace is sufficient, that You'll let us know I have given unto You precious promises. Father, as our glorious Heavenly Father, You so desire to bless us, to help us, to show Yourself to us in our lives and in the situations that we face. Holy Spirit, take over. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 31, verse 32, it says this: "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And then in verse 32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things that we need?" So I'm going to break this up into two parts. First of all, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? So grace means, or grace says this: God is for us, God is on our side, and God wants what's best for us. God is for us, God is on our side, God wants what is best for us. And I just want to praise God today that God is on my side and God is on your side. And what we're talking about is when we face the battles of life. And life's going to have some battles. Now, let me show you where grace steps in. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And look at what the scripture says. And I'll give you a couple of principles before we close on this. But I want you to understand that God is willing to not only help us fight these battles, but there are certain elements of these battles that He will fight for us, where we don't have to fight. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, as they stand at the Red Sea, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. Now, what were the children of Israel to do? Well, they were to obey God. What did God tell them to do? God said, I want you to sacrifice the lamb. I want you to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and I want you to stay inside. And so guess what they did? They did all God told them to do. And what happened? The death angel passed through and he fought for them. Then he told them, get up and get out of Egypt. And so they got up. They followed Moses. They got out of Egypt. They got as far as the Red Sea and they could go no further. And God said, and the Egyptians were closing in behind him. So what did God say? God said, stand still and let me do what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight this battle for you. God will fight for you. So I want you to understand, we're to do all that God leads us to do. But when we get to a certain point in life, there are times where God desires to take over. And that's where our testimonies come from. That's where we can say, let me tell you what God did for me last week, Lehman. Let me tell you what God did for me. What Cleo just said, all these answered prayers, what God has done for people and brothers and sisters in Christ. And the bottom line is, when we're the one always doing it, we're tying the hands of God. So we're to do what God calls us to do. But I want you to understand, there's a lot of times there's a good 30% or 50% or even 70% that God wants to do for you. So He will freely do these things for you. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and look at what Moses says again about this. And then we're going to go to a real famous battle that a fellow named David had to fight. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27, it said this, and ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. So the children of Israel, as they began, you know, approaching the promised land, they didn't feel like they could win any of these battles. They thought they were overwhelming. You brought us out of Egypt and we don't have a chance. We're going to get slaughtered. And the lesson there was, verse 28, you know, where are we going to go? You know, our hearts are discouraged. There's giants in the land. The people are greater than we are. The sons of the Anakims are there. And he said unto them, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you. You know, there are times, have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, I can't handle this. You got to take over. Lord, I can't make it through this. You got to fight this battle. Lord, I'm going. You know what that's called? That's called resting in God's grace. And I praise God. All this is available. You know what my problem is? A lot of times I think I got to do everything. I got to handle everything. I got to figure everything out. I want to praise God. God is for us. God is on our side. And God's going to do what is best for us. And when you come to those conclusions, hey, Lord, I'm just resting in your grace today. You know, I've got to go get Dad's taxes done. I got more probate forms. We got a house in Charleston and we need to do more work on. I got a house in Tennessee we need to do work on. And you know, and we got a lot I'm trying to sell that's going through probate. And I can't handle all this. And all I can do, you know all I can do today, Cameron? Preach my message and go home and get organized to Pat. And good Lord knows, he may come back before this message is over. So we just got to trust Jesus and rest in his grace. Because look at what he said. Look at what he said in verse 30. The Lord your God goes before you and he shall fight for you. That's a huge principle. God can't fight for Leo when Leo's going ahead of God. And so when you start worrying about all these things in the future and handling all these things, you're getting ahead of God. You want God out front doing the fighting. You don't want yourself out front striving and wearing yourself out. Let me show you one more. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 44, the giant, the Philistine, said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I'm going to take your head off, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." The battle is the Lord's. Have you ever said that? You need to say it. Sometimes you're going to face situations, and you're just going to have to look at your spouse and say, "God's going to have to handle this. The battle is the Lord's." Now, I want you to understand, he did all he could do. Go back to verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. So he got the five smooth stones. He got his slingshot out. And I believe he did all that under the direction of God and under the guidance of God. And then he said, "God's going to guide this slingshot. God's going to guide this stone. God is going to knock this giant out. He may use me a little bit, but the battle is the Lord." Do you believe in the miracles of God? Do you believe in the intervention of God? Do you believe God works or wants to work in your life daily? As much as I believe I'm saved by what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I understand I am kept saved by the power of God, and I also understand that God's power can work and wants to work in my daily life. God wants to do things for you. And we got to understand that. Now, go back to Romans 8, and let me show you the second part of this message. So God is for us, God is on our side, and God wants what's best for us. And if God be for us, who can stand up against us? Now, look at verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up on the cross for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give?" Now that's grace. Just write grace down. I don't have to earn it. As a child, he wants to give it to me, all the things that we need. If God spared not giving for us his only son, will he not now freely give us all things that we need to live out our Christian life through him? Now, we're going to look now at what I'm calling available grace. God wants to help you. God wants to help you as a heavenly Father. He wants to do things for you. And don't you want to do things for your children? Don't you want to help them? You know, if they get in a jam, don't you want to help them? I had this thought while Kim was leading the music. When Daniel, I guess he was 4 or 5, we took Daniel to Beach Mountain. Patty and I had been skiing for years. We're going to teach Daniel how to snow ski. And so as we're going to the bunny slope, we get our skis on top of the hill. And Daniel, he was always like this. He'd watch people. And he always figured he could figure out how to do it just by watching somebody. And so I told him, I said, "All right, Daniel," I said, "I'm going to show you what you need to do. And I know, I already know how to do it, Dad. I said, what? Oh, yeah, I already know how to do it. And there he goes. And he was right. He could ski. And he's going down that hill. But he had no idea how to stop. And that's probably the most important part of skiing. It ain't just going down the hill. You are going to have to learn how to slow down. And you're going to have to learn how to stop. So when I got down there, he was tangled up in the net. You know, they have a net to catch you when you get to the bottom of the slope if you can't stop. And I was thinking about that. But, you know, that's how it is with God a lot of times. The Lord's trying to help us. And we're saying, oh, God, I got this. I know how to do it. I can handle it. Yeah, I got it already figured out, Lord. But God wants to give you His help. Now, go with me. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to notice all these give words. Freely give. Given unto us. What God wants to do for us and to give for us. And to... I'm fighting a battle, folks. It's a shame. I've never been so disappointed in a publishing company. IMG Publishers, I've had their Bibles for years. Very disappointed in what they've produced here recently. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, I want to read it again. According as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to our spiritual life, living a godly life through our relationship with Jesus Christ, who hath called us to reflect His glory and to live a life of virtue. God has given us all things. You say, well, Brother Leo, why do I still have this sin habit in my life? Brother Leo, why do I still have this weakness in my life? Brother Leo, why am I still failing in this over and over and over again? Because you and I have not yet learned we've got help, it's available, and God can help us get over these things. You know, it pierces my heart when, and I've heard this over 38 years in the ministry, and someone will come up, and you know, you go to a new church, and somebody will say, Brother Leo, I just want you to know how I am. This is how I've been all these years. I speak my mind, or I do this, or I don't mean anything by it, but I've always been this way, and I'm never going to change. And I want you to understand, that's a lie from the devil. We may have always been the way we are, but God can change us. God wants to change us. He wants more virtue in our life, more godliness in our life. He wants us to reflect more of the glory of God. He wants us to deepen our relationship with Him. And look at what it says. His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and we need to tap unto these resources. You know, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Look at what it says here. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things, all our need. That supply in Philippians 4:19, it's P-L-E-R-O in the Greek. And it means abundantly supply, richly impart unto you. Fullness, abundance. When you know, when God does something, He does it over and above. When I, you know, when God does something, it's an A+. When I'm doing it, it's a D+ or a C-. I want you to understand, and I keep going back to Dave's mom. Here Dave's mom is in Houston, as far away from us as she can be, no prospects for somebody to come live with her after she gets out of the physical therapy, up in age, needs somebody full time. You're thinking about hiring people, shifts, all these things. You know, I'm saying you need to run an ad, you need to do this. And you could say, out of nowhere, this lady sends a Valentine's card, hadn't seen his mother in years, they reconnect, and now this lady's moving in. But it's not out of nowhere, it came from God. That's an A plus. And we need that kind of stuff going on in our life, and it's available, and God wants to give it to us. The full and abundant, to make full, to abundantly supply, to impart richly. God shall supply all my needs through his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He not only wants to give to you, he wants to give to you liberally. Go with me to James chapter 1. Just back up a couple of books. James chapter 1 verse 5, it says this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, and let him ask in faith. Now, I want you to take wisdom out of there and leave it blank, and anything you lack, you fill it in. If any of you lack courage, if any of you lack peace, if any of you lack guidance, if any of you lack counsel, if any of you lack love, if any of you lack forgiveness, if any of you lack mercy, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him, and let him ask in faith. God holds nothing back. He pours out on you. He wants to give and give and give. You know, one of Cleo's favorite verses is Malachi 3:10. And it deals with bringing your finances under the lordship and authority of Christ, and doing what with your finances what God would have you to do. And the scripture actually says there, if you'll do these things. In the Old Testament, it said if you bring your tithes into the storehouse, you know, consistently and faithfully, he'll open up the windows of heaven and he'll pour out on you a blessing that you won't be able to handle. That's how God gives. He gives liberally. He gives richly. You don't have to turn there, but the 23rd Psalm says, verse 5, my cup runneth over, surely goodness and mercy follows me all my life. All my life. Sharon Burney has a line. I don't know if you know the line, but I used to talk to Bernie and I'd say, Bernie, how are you doing? He wouldn't say, my cup runs over. He would say, I'm drinking from the saucer. And that means your cup's running over. You know, if you're drinking from the saucer, your cup's running over. And God wants us to have this mindset. You know, we're asking God for a little bit. You know, we're asking God, you know, I've been fishing all night, Lord. Well, throw your net over there, and I've caught nothing. Well, throw your net over there, and you'll catch three or four. No, you throw your net over there, there's so many fish, the boat sinks. That's how God desires to bless you. After you're saved, in your life, with fullness and with abundance. And these are the things we're to understand. Luke chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. It's verse 38. When God gives you, he gives you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Let me read that again. He gives to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You ever go to an ice cream place and you get an ice cream cone and they fill up the top but they don't fill the cone up? Yeah, that's not this verse. All right, what I'm talking about, they ram the ice cream down in the cone. And they keep pressing it down in the cone and pressing it down in the cone. And then when they do the chocolate swirl thing, because that's what I get, the vanilla swirl. And when they do that, it's about this high and you got this cone. That's how God wants to bless you. That's his, I know it's amazing grace, but it's available grace. Now, we're to do what we're to do. You know, we're to bring the five loaves and the two fish to him. And then he multiplies. We're to get the five stones and the slingshot out. We're to march around the walls. And then he knocks the walls down. We obey to the point where we get peace that we've done what God's called us to do. And then his grace steps in and takes over. My problem is I fight the battle as if I'm alone. I do the project as if I've got to complete 100% of it. I'm not living on March 13th. I've already got situations in June, I hope, all lined up. See, I get out ahead of God. And that's a disaster. You want to rest in God's grace. Now, let me show you the greatest example of this, or one of the greatest examples of this. Well, I tell you what, before we go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Ed Garner gave me this verse years ago. I was in Tampa, Florida. We were doing a revival for him. And he had been doing devotions, and he had never seen this verse. Or it never stood out to him. And he said, I want to share a verse with you today. And this was the verse. And in Psalm 68, verse 19, it says this. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with blessings, even the God of our salvation. Daily loads us with blessings. You ever seen somebody burdened? You know, folks will come up to him, and I've seen this over the years. Brother Leo, I'm so burdened. This is going on, and that's going on, and I'm so burdened. And sometimes in life, it's that way. But guess what? Sometimes in life, you're loaded down with blessings. You need to realize that. You know, somebody told me the other day, he said, we feel so sorry, Brother Leo, for you and Miss Patty. Anytime y'all get a phone call, it's usually not good news. And it's usually not good news. People don't usually call me and say, Brother Leo, I just want to call you and tell you how great God's been blessing me today. It's usually, oh, Brother Leo, this is that. You got to pray for this and this is that. You know, and that's fine. That's fine. But guess what? God wants to load you down with blessings. And he probably has. We're just not noticing it. You got to count those blessings. You know, that's a great prayer, Jennifer. You know, you're thanking the Lord for how beautiful the snow is and the sunshine. Patty comes out the door saying, I'm freezing to death. I'm glad I didn't call on you to pray. Lord, help get us out of this cold. Jennifer, praise you, Jesus, for the sunshine and the snow. You see, that's before and after. Good and bad. Jack and Jill. You know, I mean, it's all in seeing what God's doing for us. Went and saw Miss Betty Edwards Wednesday night. She can't move from the waist down. I mean, she can move her feet, but she can't, she's bedridden. And they finally, after 3 weeks, got the hospital bed. They finally got the lift. And she's sitting there and she goes, oh, let me tell you about this lift. She showed me the strap things they got, and they strap her up, and they hoist her up, and they roll her in there to where the recliner is. And she goes there swinging me, and I'm saying, boy, I hope they don't miss this recliner. She said, I feel a whole lot better at the end of the day when they're taking me back to the bed, because that's a bigger target. I mean, you know, is she belly aching? Is she whining? No. She is lifting us up. And you know, praising God and full of joy. And I'm telling you, when I leave there, I have to ask God to forgive me. Yeah. Forgive me, Lord. I have griped and bellyache today, and I'm actually walking, and here she is praising Jesus. Daily, He loads us with benefits. Let me show you 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a tremendous example of resting in God's grace. And that's what we want to do. We want to rest in God's grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, after Paul shares the experience of the visions or the experience of the third heaven, in verse 7 he says this, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that God had given him, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure, lest I should be caught up in pride. For this thing I prayed 3 times that the Lord might heal me or that this might depart from me. And the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, as we go through situations in life, thorns, storms, tribulations, our weakness, our disease, our inability, God says unto us, "My grace, my help, my strength is sufficient for you, and that's all you need." "No, Brother Leo, I need a healing." "No, God says you need His grace." "No, Brother Leo, I need you to change the circumstance." "I need God to change the circumstance." "No, you need God's grace." "No, Brother Leo, I need this thing to go the way I'm planning it out." "No, the Bible says you need God's grace." So what Paul is learning there, I'm not going to focus on the thorn, I'm going to focus on God's grace. And so he is resting in God's grace. God is for me, God is on my side, and whatever I have to go through, he has promised me his strength in my weakness. And either that's good enough for you, or it's not good enough for you. You know, he's not throwing a fit over not being healed. He's not throwing a fit over not having the circumstances changed. He's not belly aching about the pain he's going through. And the bottom line is, you don't want circumstances to rule your life. I read this last week, Romans 5:21. It said, "Grace reigns through the righteousness of Jesus Christ." You want God's grace to reign in your life. "Lord, I need you to help fight this battle. Lord, I need you to take over this situation. Lord, I'm still hurting, but I just need you to take care of me. I need you to hold me. I need you to watch over me." And see, we don't seem to understand this. Look at what it says in verse 9. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ." We don't see it that way. This is how we look at it. When we get weak, we think we're going to get weaker. We leave God out of it. We get in a situation where we're weak and we say, "Oh, woe is me, I'm probably going to get weaker." If we have infirmities, when I'm dealing with infirmities, I think, "I'm never going to get over this. I'm never going to get through this." You know, when you're weak, say, "God's grace is sufficient." When you've got an infirmity, say, God's grace is sufficient. In my weakness, a lot of times we'll say, there's no help. You got God's help. Who's going to help us through this thing? God is going to help you through this situation. God's grace is available. Count on it. Because see, you got to get these testimonies. And that way you can tell other people. And that'll build their faith. I want to close out today with one of my favorite verses of Scripture in Psalm 124. And I'm going to read you the whole psalm, and I want to ask you, do you have this testimony? Have you ever been able to say this? And I sure hope so. And this is the children of Israel. And you can just read this out loud. And it's Psalm 124, and I'll start in verse 1, and it says this. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord was on our side when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up. They'd have wiped us out. The waters would have overwhelmed us. The proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. My friend, I want you to understand that. The devil wants to trap you. He wants to ensnare you. You know, I was sharing with somebody this week that's been through a pretty long-term tribulation, and I know how it is. You go through something that hangs over you for months or hangs over you for years. When God brings you out of it, you feel like you got your life back. That's how you feel. Thank you, Jesus. We got our life back. We can live now. We can go back and live. Without this thing hanging over us. And look at what he says. Look, our soul is escaped. The snare is broken and we are escaped. And then here he goes. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That's grace. Help. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and who made earth. If it had not been that the Lord was on our side, now you fill it in. Boy, Apollos, I remember 5 years ago, the Lord was on my side that time. I remember the Lord was on my side that time. I'll never be convinced any differently. About the same time, Daniel was probably 5 or 6 years old, Patty and I had gone to Asheville to take him to the circus. And we were coming back and the temperature was dropping and I didn't realize that everything had turned to black ice. And we were going over the French Broad River, heading back to Brevard, and it's a long bridge. And I was probably running 50, 55 miles an hour. You know, I really didn't. I mean, it changed in a heartbeat. And all of a sudden, that Bronco started spinning and spinning and spinning. There was nothing I could do. We're just spinning. He's in the back seat in his car seat, and we're just spinning and spinning. And at 55 miles an hour, and it was like all of a sudden everything went into slow motion and it just hit the guardrail to the bridge. My headlights were facing oncoming traffic. I'd probably spun maybe 40 or 50 yards, but it was the softest little touch, and my bumper just buckled just about that much, my front bumper. And I've described it, it was like an angel. It was like an angel just took that truck and stood there and slowed it down. I mean, we could have flipped off that bridge. And so I can say, if God had not been with us that night, we may not have made it. You got to believe these things. You got to know they happen. And they happen in these big deals that end up entrenched in our minds, but they happen every day. God wants to help you every day. I pulled into the place the other night and I said, Lord, help us find a parking space. You know, Lord, help me with this. Lord, yeah, when we got home last night, I praised Jesus. Cameron and I pulled off that road probably 3 times last night coming back the Summertown Turnpike. Because I hit ice on the trace yesterday going. Everything was clear. I come around a curve again running 50 miles and sheet of ice. And I fishtail and then going, I'm saying tonight this thing may be bad getting back. But I was letting other cars go ahead of me because I was not going to fly down that road. But when I got home last night, I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe God helps us get home. I believe God helps us with our finances. I believe God helps us in situations of life. And I just want to praise God for that Romans 5, 31 and 32. Because you know what it means to me? It means I don't have to handle all this on my own. He will freely give me everything I need if I will stay behind Him and seek Him and not get ahead of Him and not try to handle it all myself. Yeah, Leo, I know you know how to ski. But I can show you how to ski better, and I can show you how to stop. And a lot of times we're saying, oh, Lord, I can handle it. No, you can't. We got to give it to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And just take a few moments. And I want you to pray this prayer based on our psalm. Lord, I need you on my side in this situation. Whatever situation you may be facing, you're saying, Lord, I need you on my side. Or if you're like Miss Betty and you're going through what she's handling in West Tennessee, she can say, thank you, Lord, you have been on my side. You have been helping me every step of the way. You may want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving and also a prayer of need today. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for being on our side. And Lord Jesus, I need you on my side in this situation. Yeah.